Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is a special series we're doing in the weeks leading up to Christmas, and we're looking at the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about a prophet like me from Deuteronomy 18. This is a five-day-a-week Bible study to encourage you in your walk with God. I pray that this will be a blessing to you. You will fall more in love with God and with His Word. All right, let's go ahead and pray before we get started today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us? God, speak to us, touch us, fill our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." All right, little backstory here. This is from when the Israelites are, you know, kind of, they've just left Egypt and they've seen the fire at the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and they're terrified. And Moses starts going in and meeting with God on a regular basis. They hear the voice of God audibly, and it terrifies them so much when they're still at Sinai that they ask Moses, "Don't ever let this happen again. We're so terrified of him, just hearing his voice." They were so terrified, they said, "Don't ever let this happen again. Please, you speak to him and then you tell us what he says." That's what they ask. And so Moses becomes this prophet that speaks to God face to face, or, you know, face to face. He doesn't necessarily have a conversation where they're looking at each other's eyes, but he's hearing them. He's hearing the Lord. And what Moses goes on to say, and we're not going to go into all of the scriptures about this, but what Moses goes on to say is that the Lord has, because of their rejection of him and not wanting to hear him directly, God says, "Fine, after Moses, I'm not speaking to anyone with this amount of clarity ever again. I'm going to speak to my prophets in riddles and dark sayings, and I'm going to make it difficult for you to hear my voice. You're going to have to work to understand what your dreams and visions and all this stuff means. I'm going to speak in very challenging ways to you. Ways that are difficult for you to understand." And so Moses, basically, the Lord tells him and the people that Moses is the last guy who's going to hear so clearly from God, except there's going to be one more person, and his name is going to be a prophet, is what he's called here. He's going to say, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like you." In the New Testament and in Jewish tradition, he becomes known, this prophet becomes known as the prophet, capital T, capital P, the prophet. Very important figure in messianic prophecy. Now, what's challenging about that is for most of the several hundred years after this, when this becomes important, most people didn't think that this is the Messiah. They think it's someone else. It's someone like Moses, but it's not the Messiah. We're going to keep on reading and we'll talk about that. Verse 17. The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name." This is very important. The Lord is promising in the future, there's going to be a prophet like Moses who hears directly from God with the clarity that Moses had, as if he was speaking face to face. This person is going to come along and is going to have a message from God that's more important than anything else. And God says, you must listen to him. Just like Moses, his message was going to carry the same weight and the same authority as Moses's did. Now, in John chapter 1, on two different occasions, the Pharisees come and ask John the Baptist, "Hey, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? They ask him these three questions, and to all three of them, he says, no, I'm not any of those things. But they ask him specifically, are you the prophet? And then again, he says, I'm not. And I said, well, if you're not Elijah or the prophet or, you know, the Messiah, then who are you? And they say this phrase, the prophet, twice. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the rabbis, they were looking for two different people. They were looking for the prophet and the Messiah. And then Elijah is a more technical thing. Elijah was promised that he was going to come before the Messiah. And so they've got these three different people they're looking for, but they've separated out the prophet and the Messiah into two different people. And they're looking for two different people to come. And what's fascinating about that is that they don't see two different advents of the Messiah. They reject the idea of the Messiah coming twice, but they're okay with the Messiah and the prophet being different people. That's what they were looking for. Unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, the Messiah came and he was also the prophet. Several times in the book of John, the author John points out that when they saw the works that Jesus did, when they heard the things that he did, when they saw him for themselves, they said, this must be the prophet. And what that means is to them, they have to listen to the prophet. Now, what's important about this and why this matters for our messianic prophecies before Christmas is that there was prophesied a person who was going to come and who was going to do what the Father did and say what the Father told him to say. And that was going to be the one who was going to, he was going to have to be obeyed, or there was going to be punishment. That's the point here. So if we accept that one, we'll receive a reward. If we reject that one, we will be punished. I mean, that's what it's very clearly alluding to here. And so this is a very, very important prophecy about this person who's going to come. Now, understanding that Jesus fulfills this, that he was the prophet and the Messiah, this is an important thing to understand, because Jesus goes at length in the book of John to explain, I am that guy, over and over again in the book of John. And I encourage you, if you're not familiar with that, I've got a podcast and a video series on the book of John. I'll link to those in the description if you'd like to catch up on that. But in the book of John, over and over, Jesus points out, I only do what I've seen the Father do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And that's exactly the description of the prophet here in Deuteronomy. Jesus was this man. And again, going back to this, this is not, for Christmas time, this is not necessarily a Christmas time message or a Christmas time prophecy. We're going to get into some of those about the baby Jesus and all of that kind of stuff. But this is an important prophecy about who Jesus was. And one of the main things that we need to take away from Christmas time is not just the wise men and the gifts, but the fact that God came. The first advent of the Messiah means that he came, he was born into planet Earth as a human so that he could redeem us to God. But just like the man of sorrows that we've already looked at, just like the man who was going to be crushed but bring us redemption, he is also a man with authority. He's got authority because he comes with a message from God, not like an angel. And that's what's important here. He's not a messenger like an angel with a message. He's a human with a message. He's coming as a human with a message that must be obeyed. Only Moses and the prophet are spoken of in this way. And so Jesus comes as a baby. Yes, we celebrate that at Christmas time, but we need to look beyond that to see who Jesus really is. That it wasn't just that he came to be a baby. He came to do something. And this baby, the celebration of his birth that we have, it was because he came to save us. But not only that, we are responsible for our decision that we make about how we treat Jesus. Do we accept him or do we reject him? He was rejected by many during his lifetime, especially the religious leaders of the day, the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They rejected him. And because he was actually the prophet, there was punishment for them for rejecting him. But there's a blessing for those who receive him. And like Jesus told to Thomas, when Thomas wanted to see the scars in Jesus' hands and feet and side, Jesus shows him and says, "Touch me, put your hands here so that you'll see." And he says, "Blessed are you who see and believe, but there's a greater blessing." This is my paraphrase. There's a greater blessing for those who haven't seen this and they believe. You and I, we are blessed when we believe that Jesus is this Messiah. And one of the reasons we're blessed is because if we believe it, it means we have to obey him because he's the prophet and the Messiah. And as the Messiah, he's the guy who's going to rule and reign. So we best do what he says anyway. If you look at all the messianic prophecies in the Bible, you want to be on his side. You want to be on his team. So it's best to obey him. But as the prophet, we are required to obey him. So belief in Jesus comes with this necessity for obedience, to do what he does, to follow him and to do the works that he wants us to do. It's really important. And so not only celebrating the birth of Jesus this Christmas season, I pray that you and I, we will double down on our desire to be obedient to him. Now, if obedience, if that word, if that just is like, I hate that word, don't worry. He says, my burden is light. The burdens of obeying other people, they can be so heavy. The burden of obeying Jesus, it's light. It's actually a pleasure. It's a joy. When we know him, he is so good and so just that obedience to him is no burden at all. It's only a burden. It only sounds like a burden to those who have rejected him or are struggling to accept him. But once you get to know him, you know he's good. And you experience his goodness. And that obedience, sometimes, yes, there's a collision when obedience means not doing the things that our sinful nature kind of want to do or doing the things that our sinful nature wants to keep us from doing. There is that tension. But he's so good. He's such a good father, a good judge, a good prophet, a good Messiah. That burden of obedience is light. So this Christmas season, will you join me in pledging ourselves to obeying him with everything that we have, that we would love him, obey him, and follow him and trust him, because there is an eternity to be had here. I want to thank every one of you who has sponsored the 10-week Bible study through Patreon. I've got links to the Patreon page in the description. If you would be interested in giving money to support what we're doing here, I just want to say thank you. And if you're not, that's okay too. I appreciate every single person who listens and tells their friends and likes and comments and subscribes and has picked up the Bible study. I encourage you, if you're looking for a Bible study series to lead with your Sunday school class or your home group, get in touch with me because we can have special volume discounts on the books if you'd like to buy for a larger group. But they are great resources to go through with a small group or a large group of people. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll see you next time.